Hello, and welcome to another episode of For the Love of Sports. My name is Michael Raziel. This is the show where we get to talk about sports, we get to talk about business, and we get to talk about everything in between. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, you know exactly what to do. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Leave a comment if you have a question. Make sure to give us a five-star review on Spotify. Give us a five-star review and say some really, really nice things about me over on Apple Podcasts. But more importantly, today, my incredible guest, I have Jason Franklin. He's the co-founder of Sportique. Jason, how you doing today, man?
What's up, Michael? Thanks for having me.
Pleasure is all mine. Very excited to talk to you about design, about Scottie Pippen, about the Bulls, about sports in general, about just doing what you love to do. But Jason, the first question I have for everybody on the For the Love of Sports podcast is, why do you love sports so much?
Oh, man. Well, I started out as a kid growing up in Chicago, and my formative years, there was a young man out of North Carolina. You might have heard of him, 6'6". That was a rookie for the Chicago Bulls by the name of Michael Jordan. And I was very fortunate. My dad got like the last two season tickets at the old Chicago Stadium. And we started going to the Bulls games. And anybody who watched Michael, it was just like one of those, did you see that? Did you see that? It was every game. There was some more fantastic move than the next. And he was really a one-man show there in the beginning. But that really got my love going of sports. I mean, I loved sports before that, but then really watching, you know, I loved all things Chicago sports, so the Bulls and the Bears and the Cubs and the Blackhawks. I loved going to all the games. But really, it was the love of the Bulls that got me to another level of sports fandom, if you will.
Yeah, it's pretty easy, especially as a young kid. I mean, like the NBA is like the easiest league to do that with too, right? It's more star driven. So to be in Chicago, to have season tickets, to see and start witnessing the greatest basketball player of all time right in front of you in your hometown for your favorite team, I can see that being a real easy transition into loving everything sports, loving everything Chicago Bulls. And the opportunity does not come. I mean, that's, are you, for the story's sake, is it the last two tickets that were available, or is it actually legitimately like the last two season tickets ever available in the stadium?
So my dad, you know, I went to a school where I was very fortunate. There was a lot of kids that their families had a lot of means and could have season tickets for all of the sports. And I came home and I was like, I think I was crying. I was like, you know, Louie has tickets to the Cubs and the Bears and we don't have any tickets. We never get to go to the games. And why can't I get to go to the games? So my dad went to the old, he was an attorney and drove to the old Chicago Stadium to the ticket window. I mean, this is really before online and phone, you know, you go on the website, whatever. He goes, drives to the Chicago Stadium, to the ticket office, and he'll still tell the story of the day. He's like, my son came home crying last night. I know, this might sound crazy, but is there any season tickets left? I know this is Michael Jordan's rookie year, and now there's this huge spike in demand. The guy's like, hey, man, I feel for you. I got a young son at home too. I have two tickets in the first balcony in the third row. Take them or leave them, because I guarantee I will not have them tomorrow. And my dad's like, I'll take them. Whatever, you know, please, I'll take them. So sure enough, he got the tickets. So as the story goes, yes, those were like literally at that time the official like last two season tickets that were available for the old Chicago Stadium.
That is awesome. What are the chances, right? The world works in mysterious ways. I always love to hear stories like that.
Well, yeah, as we continue on with the story, it was definitely probably one of the things that got me started in my journey for where I'm at today, for sure.
I was going to say, we have another Chicago Bulls story coming up here in a couple minutes, but I do want to talk to you about, I mean, your company, obviously, is Sportique, so we're going to get into that, the design, everything that you do personally, but my notes here say 12-year-old prodigy. Am I cool to use that? Or
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
If you, you know,
cool.
I've heard all sorts of different words. Prodigy, I've heard before too, so that's
Perfect.
cool. I mean, I'm very, very fortunate. I know I'm have a very rare circumstance where at a very, very young age, it just clicked of what I wanted to do. I knew that I wasn't going to be tall enough to be a professional basketball player. I think, you know, I'm 6 feet tall right now, which is not bad, but you know, at that age, I was like 4'9", and I just knew I wasn't going to grind. My jump shot was okay, but let's be honest, I wasn't going to the NBA. But I had this love for sports clothes, and I couldn't find anything. And I had this crazy head of hair, which I'll spare you from taking my hat off right now, that I couldn't find a hat. And you know, I started going to these Bulls games, and I couldn't find a hat that I wanted to wear. There was nothing cool at all. There was no t-shirt that I really wanted. There was no sweatshirt I wanted. It was like a jersey, this not well fit sweatshirt and t-shirt, and a foam finger and a program. And that was pretty much the shop. And I'd go every day, every game, hoping to find something else, but couldn't find it. And my great grandmother was a clothing designer, and my grandmother was a clothing designer, and she had a knit shop in downtown Chicago. I spent my Sundays sitting on her lap, just looking at fabrics, looking at different patterns that she was knitting. And but my quest in the beginning was I wanted a cool Chicago Bulls hat. And I was just like, all right, well, I don't see anything, so whatever, I'm just gonna start drawing them. I don't know why. I was just like, I'm just gonna start drawing hats with, you know, cool sports logos that I would want to wear. And my sister was babysitting for the neighbors one night. She got sick. My mom sends me over there, and I walk over there, and there's hats all through the house, sports hats all through the house. And I'm like, this is like the coolest house ever. This is like the Willy Wonka of hats. So I go, the parents come home, and I'm like, what do you do? He's like, I own a baseball cap company, and we make hats for all the major sports leagues. I'm like, what? And do you mind if I run home and show you some of the hats I designed? He's like, yeah, sure, whatever, kid.
Yeah,
You know,
sure thing, kid. Sure.
okay,
Can I? I just I wanted to go to bed.
yeah, exactly. Like, I just got home from dinner, whatever, but sure, go ahead, run home, you know, show me what you got. So I run home, out of breath, just, you know, sprawl this pieces of paper on his floor. And he's like, okay. He starts looking and grabbing ones, and he's like, oh, a couple of these are actually pretty cool. Do you mind if I, you know, maybe make them? And I'm like, what? Yeah, like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing ever. And so some time passes, and you know, 3, 4 months pass, and he's got hat. He comes, you know, stops over at the house after school, after he's getting home from work. He's like, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? He's like, I'm gonna tweak a couple of the, you know, some of the fabrics in these aren't right, but you know, do you like some of the designs? And I'm like, wow, yeah, this is what I envisioned in my brain. This is incredible. And then, sure enough, fast forward, he's like, hey, some of these I think we're actually going to be able to sell at some professional sports teams. You know, we're maybe going to maybe start selling some of these at some of the major sports retailers. And I'm like, wow, this is really cool. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, I go with some friends to go see Poetic Justice at the age of 13, and within the first couple frames of the movie, it's Tupac wearing the first hat I ever drew. And I'm like, ah, like,
That is, I
okay.
mean, that's insane at 30, right? I'm 31 years old, just turned 30, 31 a couple days ago. Like at 13, you can't possibly, like, your brain can't possibly really process that fully, right? Like as you're saying it, you have to realize like how unbelievably absurd that story is and how unbelievably cool it is. But at 13, you're probably just like, that's cool. Yeah, I want to make hats when I grow up. Like that is mind blowing. Like how do you, what, at 13, are you just like, that's cool. I want to keep doing this. Like, this sounds great. Like, how do you even process that?
Yeah, and there's no social media at the time, so it
Exactly.
wasn't like, oh, let me take a selfie of
This looks
this at the
good.
movie theater. You know, yeah, exactly. Tweet, you know, tweet, Instagram, TikTok, whatever. So yeah, I just was it was just like the ah moment, so that aha moment, like, okay, you know, the lights, you know, shined down on me and said, you know, this is what you're supposed to do. And I was just like, okay, yeah, like this, I found my calling. And it really went from there. And I ended up working for that company. And one of the fun things was is as much as I love to draw, actually I love to meet with the prospective clients to talk to them about the hats that they should have in their stores or team shops. And so actually selling was then a big part of my repertoire as well. And here I am as like 14, 15, 16 year old kid that's getting called out of school that's going to talk to the CEO of Foot Locker. It's like, these are the hats you should have in your store, sir. In all of your stores across the world. It's like, okay, yeah, you're a 15-year-old kid, and my target market is a 15-year-old kid. This is brilliant. Yes, I'm definitely going to buy these hats. Or I'm the New York Yankees, and yes, I'm definitely going to buy these hats because we're trying to sell hats to 15 and 16 and 17-year-old kids. So, I'm very, very, very fortunate that I found my calling at a very young age. I know that is not normal. My parents helped me remember that that's not normal, and the rest of the story is not normal, and I get that too, so I'm very, very grateful.
I was going to say grateful is probably a good word to use there, because it sounds awesome. Like, it just sounds so cool that you have this opportunity. At 14, you're meeting with, like, the CEO of Foot Locker to talk about what hats they should have in their store. That's just, like, absolutely insane. I mean, again, like, it's got to be hard to process. It's hard for me to process thinking of myself stepping in front of the CEO of Foot Locker, but like the naivete that you have at 14, it's just like, I think this hat looks cool. Like, it's just it's like so easy. It's so like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, you don't have to think about all the bullshit that goes along with it. It's just, I'm 14, I made this, I think it looks cool, and other 14-year-olds probably think it looks cool too, so why don't you sell it to other 14-year-olds? It's like, oh, this is mind-blowing shit, right? Like, how cool is that? I guess, like,
yeah.
Well, what do you got? Anything good?
You got to remember, like, the rest of the companies that were coming in there, they had, you know, their sales guys or, you know, VPs or whatever, like 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And here's some walks in some, you know, 14, 15 year old kids. So right out of the gate, these people are like, what is going on here in this meeting? But we love it. So they were very receptive and very kind. And a lot of those people, you know, through the years have still stayed, you know, in contact with and friends with, and they've, you know, become fans of Sportique when I went and started my own thing 16 years ago.
With something like that happening, is there, again, like, maybe it's you were just so naive it didn't matter, was there like massive amounts of pressure on you? I mean, like, worst case scenario, it's just a cool thing to put on your resume when you were 14, right? But like, were you like, oh my god, like, were you worried about talking to these people, or were they just like dudes that were gonna buy some hats? Like,
yeah, there was no pressure at all. That was, I think that was the beautiful thing. It's not, you know, like, I'm 14, 15. It's not like I have kids at home.
A mortgage.
You know, yeah, a mortgage, a car payment, you know. I did have a car payment later on, but, you know, there was no, like, if they wanted to buy it, great. They didn't want to buy it, yeah, maybe that'll hurt my feelings because it's something I felt strongly about, that it was something I drew and, you know, thought they should have in the store, but there wasn't really pressure at all. I mean, there's nothing in it. That's, I think that relaxed sort of presentation, you know, in addition to being such a young kid walking in there, really, you know, gave me sort of the leg up in those meetings.
Yeah. I'm sure just the shock and awe also. They were just so confused and be like, is this a joke? Ashton Kutcher, right? Punk'd might have been big back then, right? Like, what are we doing here? And then all of a sudden you're laying out this, I don't know, did they have slide decks in like the early 90s? I don't think so. Whatever your presentation was, it probably looked kick ass. They're probably like, you drew this,
paper,
kid?
Yeah, you drew this?
Yeah, yes, sir, I did. Oh, wow. I'm sure you had that conversation 100 times. And then they bought the hats. Like, that's it's that simple and easy. I guess, where does, like, you said you didn't find anything cool. So now I look at hats, and they're pretty much all like I feel like they were cool when I started caring about hats. How boring were the hats prior, and what exactly were you doing in terms of design that was making it that much more interesting? Because you only can draw a Yankees logo so many different ways, right?
Right. So yeah, so that was the thing. It was like, I think that was, you know, the where a lot of companies just stop. It's like, let's just, crazy idea, let's throw a navy hat and put the Yankees logo on it, we'll call it a day, hey, we have a business, hooray. But it was like, well, wait a minute, you know, that was sort of, I think, one of the things that I learned very early on is there's this fashion world happening and there's this fan world happening, and understanding what was happening in the fashion world in regards to colors and fits and fabrics, and translating that in a way that the fans would understand. And I think really having just an innate sense of what not only was trending at the time, but was what was going to be trending, and then bringing that to the hats was really, and then it was the confidence. Like once these clients started having my product in on their floor and it was selling, then it was like, okay, there was this trust level that was like, this kid has the pulse of what is not only happening now, but is what is going to be happening. And, you know, still to this day, I think that's one of the, you know, Sportique's, you know, what we really stand on is we really have that special sauce of what's happening in understanding what's happening in the fan world, but also understanding what's happening in the fashion world and bridging that gap, in a way that the fans, whether you're a fan of a sports team, a music band, a brewery, whatever, that fan's going to understand and want to buy.
That is awesome. That is a great way of putting it, too. I think it's really important for people to understand, as you said. And we're going to get to Sportique a little bit, because we do have another story that I want to get to as well. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Did you make a bunch of money at 14?
I think that was the problem. It was like, my dad's an attorney, and like, I mean, that is honestly, I mean, as close as I was to the family that I was working for, I wasn't part of the family. And I think like that was one of the things, like I sort of hit a glass ceiling at a very young age of my entrepreneurial desires. And I dreamt of something bigger. So yeah, I mean, the joke was, you're not 16, you get paid in Twizzlers and candy bars and, you know, baseball cards and more hats, but I should have probably gotten paid a little bit more, but
yeah.
I didn't, but it ended up being a blessing in disguise because I'm sitting here today talking to you about Sportique.
Oh, look at you, man. This is the peak, man. I'm sorry to tell you right now, but being on this podcast, this is actually the peak for you. So I really do appreciate you coming on. It sounds like you know, if they were putting you in conversations with the CEO of Foot Locker on how to sell more hats, I really think you probably should have got paid more money. But again, we're grateful for everything that happened because, again, it got you to right here, and I'm sure you're much more happy now with what's going on than if you got paid a couple extra bucks in the early 90s when you were 14, when, hey, a Pokemon card pack was $7, man, it really didn't matter that much, right? It really didn't matter that much.
1,000% agreed. Yes.
Good stuff, man. So there's another...
Maybe got one more extra Ken Griffey rookie junior card, so, you know, there's that, but, you know, whatever.
Can you sell that? Those were probably mass produced, so you really couldn't even do too much with those back then either, right?
Right, exactly. Sure,
yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. All right, still pretty cool, though. I have an Ichiro rookie card. Fair. It's worth like $20. I don't know, whatever.
We're going to go off a whole other tangent on sports trading, which is a whole card trading, which is a happening thing right now, but I have a different podcast.
I was going to say, I'll have you back on if you want to talk about that stuff. I'm all ears when it comes to that, too. But I want to talk, cool. There's another story, so... I guess around this time, you then also become the Chicago Bulls ball boy, and you beat out, I don't remember, again, shout out to Marlon for setting up this interview. He had some absurd number. It was like 35,000 or whatever. Yeah. Again, I don't know if that's just inflation for the story, makes it sound a little bit more enticing, but it sounds like you became a Chicago Bulls ball boy. Now, we don't got to get too deep into it, but I guess...
Sure.
Did it help that you were selling hats to the Foot Locker, CEO? Was that included in the resume, if I may?
Definitely. So, to take a step back, I mean, you know, once I started working for the hat company, I was just like, okay, this is cool. Like, I'm following my passion. What else can I do? If I have the confidence to walk in and talk to anybody about hats, like, I'm going to these Bulls games. Like, who are these kids on the floor? And they're rebounding, and they're right next to the Bulls, and... That looks like a pretty fun job to do, too. So, yeah, I happened to grow up in Deerfield, Illinois, which was the hometown of the Chicago Bulls practice facility. And school lets out at 3:30 and ran home, got my bike, and rode my bike over to the Bulls practice facility and rang the doorbell. I was like, hi, my name's Jason, and I'd like to be a ball boy. They're like, how old are you? And, okay, and, well, let's talk about this. And it's the middle of the season, and... I was like, well, I'm 14 and a half. I'll be, 15 and a half for starting next season. And they're like, okay, well, fill this out and, come back to us. And 1,000 kids apply. Five kids got interviewed, two kids got a job. And I got a job, and I think I really believe, to answer your question, one of the reasons why I got the job is because they had confidence that I was not going to be starstruck, if you will, when I walked into the locker room and was dealing with, you know, anybody on the Chicago Bulls, who at that time was, let's face it, the Beatles, Michael and Scotty, anybody in the opposing locker room. I wasn't going to, like, freak out, because here I'm, you know, I've gotten on a plane and gone to New York and talked to people, you know, talked to this executive or that executive. So going to meet Michael, yes, very cool, but I wasn't going to, like, freak out and not be able to do my job. So mm-hmm. I got the job as a pretty much 16-year-old, 15 and a half, and was 16, but pretty much the season starting. And, yeah, that was sort of my second job, if you will, in high school. I either was going to the hat company after school, or I was, you know, quickly changing in the bathroom at the high school and putting on my ball boy jersey and getting a ride from my parents right after school, going down to the United Center to start the ball boy job.
That is, did you miss high school? Like, did you, like, hang out with your friends at all?
No, totally missed it. But yeah. I mean, I never went to a dance. I never went to, like, any.
You didn't go to prom?
Like, I never went to prom. Never yeah. went to homecoming. But we, you know, maybe we did a little. Maybe I did something else that was pretty cool too that night. But
that's true.
With some of my friends at the time, and that probably, you know, maybe it was as a different prom, if you will. But I didn't go to the official high school prom, if you will. But that's okay. But yeah, that was a definitely a different experience. And that, you know, I was going to school at the high school, but the best education, to be completely honest, that I got was the education that I was getting hanging out with the Bulls, because the stuff I was learning, and I was very fortunate, they started treating me like a little brother, and they started taking me out after the games. I'd, you know, go to, they'd be like, hey, we're going to go have dinner, or we're going to go to this place, or, you know, go there, here, after the game tonight, you want to come? I'm like, yes, and it might be Wednesday night, and I might not be getting home till 2 or 3 in the morning, but thank goodness my parents realized that there was this other school that I was going to get this education that very few people could get, and how valuable that would be for me and my professional career later on in life. And I hung out with those guys.
And Michael Jordan.
Got a second education.
Yes. Yeah. A second education, a very different second education, but as you
a
said.
A master's.
Yes, absolutely. At 16, nonetheless.
Yeah.
Knowing that Michael Jordan, like, I mean, he's like a billionaire now, right? Now he's like this incredible right. investor, and he's an absolute businessman. Mm-hmm. How much of that did you, I guess, were you able to pick up on at a young age? Maybe Michael, maybe Scotty, anybody else on the team, you know, the coaches, whomever. Like, how much were you able to pick up on that and actually start learning at that young of age? And I guess, like, I mean, obviously they've learned as time went on, but was there anything that you were able to pick up on during those dinners, during those times hanging out, that you were like, that's pretty interesting, I should probably file that away somewhere?
Yeah, you know, I think, and I bring this up to the Sportique team all the time, is the biggest takeaway that I got from the Bulls at that time during the second three championships was the drive. And if you want to be the best, and win championship after championship after championship, you need to want it more than anyone else. And that showed up in, you know, those guys getting there. You know, I got there at like 4 o'clock. They were there right then. I mean, they were putting in 2 hours of workouts before the game. You had a guy like Dennis Rodman who would play almost 48 minutes in the game and then do a full, like, crazy weight workout for an hour after the game. And, like, these guys just wanted it more than anyone else. And I knew, and that was my big, like, aha moment with these guys was, yeah, sure, we had a lot of fun. We got to do a lot of fun things outside of the court, and you know, we could share those stories another day. But what I got from them was the drive. And so I knew that whatever I wanted to do, which I had a pretty good inclination of what I wanted to do at the time, like, I need to work harder than anyone else.
I think that's
important. I want it more than anyone else.
It's so cool that you're able to pick up on that at such a young age, right? Like, again, you could have been starstruck. You could have been just like, wow, these guys work hard, but also, you know, they're just extremely talented, and that's probably why they're winning. And you were kind of in that boat, right? It sounds like you were pretty damn talented at 14, 15, 16 with what you're capable of, but, you know, you have to put in the work. Work will, I don't really totally believe in the quote, work will beat talent every day. But at the same time, you have to understand, if you are that talented, why are you wasting it? Put in that much work, put in that much effort, and you will become the best if you are that talented. So it's cool that it kind of almost juxtaposed what you had in your life a little bit where, yeah, these guys were incredible, but they also put in more work than anybody else. Clearly, again, same thing with you, Jason. You're absolutely incredible, but you also put in more work than anyone else, and that's what they've been able to kind of push you further and further, which I think is really cool. So kudos and congratulations on picking up on that, man.
Thanks, Michael. Yeah.
Buddy, pleasure is all mine. There's a really cute story of Scottie Pippen driving you to your first date, but I don't know. I don't want to like take up all our time on like cute little stories. I want to talk more about your business. So I'm sure some it's on another podcast somewhere, right? I'm sure. So
it's somewhere. Yeah, you can read it in an article or podcast or something like that. Yeah, there it's very nice and
What a good guy. Let's we'll leave it at that. Yeah. So yeah, check that out somewhere. Yes. I'm sure it's pretty damn cool. But yeah, Sportique, I want to talk about this some more, man. It's your business. Let's it's your baby. It's everything you've been working for. Yeah. It's again this drive that you've been putting in to get to this point. And I'm sure you're not even at any point yet, right? You're still on that first mile. You're still trying probably to get that. How long's marathon? 26.2. So I guess you know, as you were saying before, you're grateful that you weren't paid, you know, proper wages. I'm going to use the word proper wages. You say whatever you'd like at the previous job because it has led you to here. Where was that time? Where was that ceiling that you hit that you were like, you know what? Like, I can do more. I can be better. I can have more if I do this on my own because I believe I could do it. When did that happen? And when were you able to finally strike that iron and really create this business?
Well, it happened to me at a pretty early age, I guess, from an entrepreneurial standpoint. I mean, I'm 44. The company's been in business now for 17 years, so you can do the math. I mean, I started this, at a pretty young age. And I realized pretty early on in my early 20s that in order to, that I had a bigger sort of appetite for more things outside of headwear. I had a bigger appetite for more things outside of sports. I wanted to run a business, to lead a business. I wanted to sort of be able to control the culture, control the narrative, run a brand the way I saw fit. And that's I was like, okay, in order to do all of those things, I need to go start my own thing. So, in all of my travels, I was just like, I always loved talking to people about their passions. And I'm passionate about sports and music and food. But like talking to other people, they were passionate about cars and fixing houses and beer. And, you know, maybe we had some overlapping interests in food, music, sports. But I just liked hearing their stories. And I was just like, where are these people going to buy what apparel that's they're a fan of? Like, because they're going, sure, I wanted to sell sports product at sports arenas. I wanted to go sell product at music venues that I love that I went to at a very early age, like the Grand Ole Opry. You know, I loved playing Nintendo and Super Mario Brothers growing up, so I had to have some product at Nintendo World in New York City at Rockefeller Plaza. But, like, I wanted to put product wherever fans were going. And I think that was the big thing at Sportique was, yes, you know, the NBA and fortunately a small band out of Charlottesville, Virginia, the Dave Matthews Band, were sort of the first two brands, you might have heard of them, that gave us a start. But we really felt there was an opportunity to revolutionize an industry, the fan fashion industry. Because there was really, at that time, there was really nobody felt that could really, that was really understanding what was going on in the fashion world and bringing it to a way that the fan world could understand it. And then also being able to fulfill the, what I would call hot market needs of what was going on in the industry. And so I was just like, there was this huge void in the marketplace that we could go revolutionize or evolutionize or whatever you want to call it. So we started Sportique.
Your first two clients were the NBA and Dave Matthews Band?
Yes.
How, I mean, the NBA makes sense because you had some connections, right? I'm assuming, somewhere along the way. Dave Matthews Band, I don't know where that, but like, again, this story is just so unique in that sense. Like, everybody else's first client is like their mom's friend who's like, yeah, sure, we'd love for you to help. Like, of course, like, not knowing what the hell she's getting into, right? But your first two clients were the NBA and Dave Matthews Band. Again, let's take a step back because that is just, that's absurd. Again, I don't mean to use that word in a negative context because I only like positivity here. And I'm saying that in the most, wow, that is incredible way. Like, how are you closing Dave on, hey, you have a cool logo, how can I put it on more stuff?
Yeah, I mean, so I became a fan of the Dave Matthews Band in the early 90s in high school.
And I was going to say, most of us became fans of the Dave Matthews Band in high school. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Right? Okay. Yeah, so I just started listening to them. And, you know, I'm a big believer in manifesting and just putting things out there. Because if you believe it, you can achieve it. And when I was going to these concerts, you started talking to people. And they're like, oh, man, I mean, the show was in Chicago and these fans I was talking to were in Milwaukee the night before and Indiana the night before that and going to Ohio the next night and buying merch at all the, you know, at all the different nights. And I'm just like, wow, this is an incredibly passionate fan base. I need to figure it out. I need to go to knock on some doors. And somehow got introduced through an old friend of mine. She happened to be friends with one of the members of the band, and we got a chance to meet up before their show in Chicago, and we just got to talking one night, and he just heard my story and was just like, wow. He's like, you know, I believe in what you're doing. And he's like, so tell you what, because, you know, I'd like to make an introduction to our management team, and can you get down to Charlottesville, Virginia? I said, yeah, I'm on a plane, you know, let's do this. And so went down there, and just, we had about 8 samples at the time, and it was literally like the same time we had just gone to the NBA offices in New York City to go tell them, hey, we've got this, you know, give them the vision of Sportique. And we went and gave that same vision to Dave Matthews Band, said, you have a very passionate fan base that wants a more sort of fit, fabric, and feel that's more elevated than what they're getting right now. They want more boutique department store fashion, and you're not offering that. And they'd be willing to pay more for it if you had the right product. And they said, we're selling $25 t-shirts and $15 hats and $40 hoodies. Are you telling me that we can sell a $40 t-shirt and a $65 hoodie and a $30 hat? You're telling us that we can do that and sell just as much, if not more? I'm like, yes, I can tell you unequivocally that you're,
but
going to
for
be
the quality
boutique.
You can't just take the same stuff they had and just mark it up. No. Like, yeah,
no, yeah, with these samples that I'm showing you in this meeting, like, you've got to try this. I said, okay, all right, kid, we know you're friends with, you know, one of the guys, and, you know, we'll give this a shot. And, you know, that opened the door. But at the end of the day, you know, the product sells. And that was one of the beautiful things about our business model, is the other players in the industry, whether it was sports or music or and really in the sports world, was like, they would make a product, they would get it there, hopefully for the start of the season. If the product sold out, you were screwed. They were screwed, because they were like, okay, well, we got to make this in China and it's going to take another 120 days and the season's lost. We'll maybe get you some stuff for next season, so better luck, order more next year. It's like, no, that's not the way the world. People are going to go to a game, they're going to go to a sporting event, they're going to fly to a city to do whatever. They want to buy the product right then, right now. And our business model was a little different. We just said, we're going to design and manufacture all of the product blank, bring that to our facility in Phoenix, and then embellish everything there. So, awesome. You sold out at your and the first 5 shows of this t-shirt? Great. You're in Charlottesville, or you're in Charlotte, North Carolina on Tuesday? Well, guess what? We'll have more product waiting for you on Friday. Does that work for you for your next tour stuff? They're like, are you kidding me? We're going to get this quality, this sort of boutique department store fashion product, and we're going to get it like for the next tour date? Like, yes. And for the teams, we're like, wait a minute. Like, so we sell out of this like the first month of the season. You're going to get us more product for the holiday season? Yes, we're going to do that. And that was like the big moment for us. And that's what really sort of catapulted us to gain market share, was that sort of you know, obviously the fit, the fabric, the feel, and some of our signature, now still to this day, some of our top selling styles, the Olsen hoodie, the Comfy Tee. But that speed to market was the other thing that really was one of the revolutionized evolution of the industry.
That is awesome. And it's so cool that, it, like, again, you're just a kid and you figured, well, you were 20-something at the time. I was trying to do the math before. I want to say 27, 28.
Yeah.
But still, like, to be able to figure that out in an industry that's, I mean, how long have T-shirts been around for, right? Like,
yeah.
Much years. Longer than 28, the 28 years you've been on planet Earth, right? And it took someone yourself that has the design capabilities but also the business intelligence to say, hey, I mean, why don't we do this in a way that allows our customers to get more of what they want, to allow their customers to get everything that they want when they want it, because that's the way of the world. That's how it works. And now it's only even increased, right? Now it's more like, hey, I ordered this on Amazon. It said it was going to be here yesterday. Now I'm pissed off. It's like, well, do you actually need it? It's like, no, it's a toilet bowl brush. Like, I just want it, right? Like, it's just one of those things that we expect everything now. And the fact that you were able to deliver on that, you know, 17 years ago, like, that's, you know, kudos and congratulations on that, man. Good shit.
Thank you.
That is awesome.
And we just started going, you know, to wherever fans were going. So, you know, I was just like, huh, the DMB tour is doing really well. I, as a very young kid, went to Nashville, Tennessee, and had one of the most incredible musical experiences that I ever witnessed, still to this day, was at the Grand Ole Opry. And I went to them and I said, you have people flying from all over the world to come to your venue, and gave them the same story about that they needed more elevated product. I'm like, think about how much these people are paying for flights, hotels, food, all the stuff to get here. They want a nicer product. They want to have something that let's be honest, a lot of the people coming to pick Opry or you name a team or whatever, they might be coming from all over the world and might only go to that place once.
Mm-hmm.
They might only get a slice of Joe's Pizza, New York City, one time, but they want to have something that they can take away with that memory that reminds them of that special moment they had forever. And it has to be a quality garment. And so we were very fortunate that, you know, when we started going to some of these other clients, whether it was Mercedes-Benz, Home Depot, Kona Brewing Company in Hawaii, that they got it. Like, yes, we get it. People are going to come here and they're spending a lot of money to get here, and they want to have a higher quality garment that fits right, that is the right fabric that they could have in their closet and be their favorite piece forever and ever and ever. And it's been one person telling another person, and really wherever fan moment you go to in whatever city that you're in, you're going to see Sportique product.
That is awesome. And yeah, I mean, do the math. As you said, if you're flying to wherever for this one potential, I love how you put it, right? Potentially, they're going to come here one time. You don't think they're willing to spend an extra $15 on a T-shirt for something that's actually nice and not just like, oh, yeah, like I went there. You need to buy a souvenir when you go to some of these places. Like, I would much rather buy something that's a little bit nicer, significantly nicer, it sounds like, actually, and be able to wear it and not just kind of have one of those like screen printed on, like kind of sticks to your chest type T-shirts, right? Like, I'm willing to pay the extra $15 for that. If I'm flying across the world to get something, pretty easy math, man.
Yeah, and if you're a brand, like, how do you know, like, that you're selling an elevated car, Mercedes-Benz, Jeep, whatever it is. Like, wait a minute, people are going to spend all this money on a car, but you don't think they want a nicer hoodie? Like, you know, come on. Like, you want to have... If this product's going to have your brand name on it, you have to have a quality piece. If they bring it home and it falls apart after one wash, what's that saying about your brand?
Exactly.
So, you know, and the aha moment is day in and day out, and you name a vertical, we could go to Las Vegas. The Wynn Hotel was one of those clients that got it right away. They're like, how much are people coming to spend to stay here? Oh, wait a minute. Like, we should probably have some pretty nice product in our shops. And so, you know, whether it's the Wynn or Cosmo or Caesars or the World Series of Poker, whatever it is, they now have Sportique product that they're selling with their brand name on it. And even we have clients that aren't even selling product, but they want to give something. I mean, you've been to countless events, right? Like, how many events have you been to where you got something, you're like, sweet, I just got the swag bag when I walked out, and I'm going to wash my car with this, or it's going to stay at, like, I'm, you know, I had an accident in the house and it spilled oil in a car or whatever, and I'm just wiping it up because I'm never going to wear this shirt or sweatshirt. So now companies are even getting smarter. They're like, what's our ROI if we buy some cheap piece of crap that our fans or potential fans of the brand are never going to wear? We want people to be walking billboards. So it's like, we now are just, if you are a fan, if you have a product that you want to be, have fans of, you're coming to Sportique to make your custom apparel.
That's beautiful. That was a good pitch. I'll clip that out in case you want to use that to send to like Apple or anybody else. But no, man, I know we only have a couple more minutes here, but I think brand affinity is something that's extremely real. It's extremely important, and you have to take it for serious, right? Like, you have to, as a brand right now, you have to show, and not just your products, but the products that have your brand name on them need to be of utmost quality, especially if your brand is about being of utmost quality, right? Like, you can't skimp on any of that stuff, because someone wants to wear that t-shirt, but if it's a shitty t-shirt, they're not going to wear it. And as you said, you want your fans to be walking billboards, because community, loyalty, affinity, all these things are so extremely important in business these days. Not that they haven't been before, but now with the online, you know, people on Twitter, just the worst place on planet Earth, with people on Instagram, like everywhere, there's an opportunity to get your brand, and it's essentially just free visibility. And that's just as saying, like, that person is more connected to your brand because they're willing to wear it, right? That means they're probably going to continue to buy your product. But then also the people that see them wearing it, it's like, oh, they can ask a question. They can bring something up. They can have that conversation. And it makes too much sense, Jason. It makes too much sense for more brands not to be using Sportique. I'll clip that part too.
We feel the same way, Michael.
In case you need more testimony.
Appreciate it.
Of course, man. Last thing I do want to talk about, I'm sure we can continue to talk all day because I'm having an absolute blast. Sure. I hope you're having a good time too. But 40 minutes, man, it went so quick. Isn't that crazy? Had such a great conversation. It went so fast. I want to talk about your giving back initiatives, because I think that's extremely important. And again, talking about brand affinity, talking about loyalty, talking about community, allowing others to partake in something that you are very passionate about. I want to make sure that we get that out there. So talk to me a little bit about some of the giving back initiatives that you guys have, including, you know, 1% of every order, concerts. I saw the Smashing Pumpkin. Like, there's just so much stuff that you guys have been able to do, especially over the last couple of years. At least that's what I've been able to Google search and see. I guess tell me about some of these things, why it's so important to you, and some of the impact that you guys have been able to have.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of brands like, oh, we give back, you know, but like, if our whole thing is, our tagline's Roman Comfort, and if we can't talk it and walk it, then what are we doing? And I, just to go back, there were a lot of cool things that happened in my childhood, but there's a couple of things that were pretty difficult. I had some difficult situations in my home growing up, and I was not in some comfortable situations. And growing up, I realized there was a lot of other kids dealing with some uncomfortable situations as well that really had no way to get out. And I think that was one of the big things when we started Sportique, that we really wanted to a couple things. One is, we wanted to be this beam of light to show kids that and young people that you too can get out of the situation that you're in. And and so that was one of the things that we wanted to do, whether it was a kid dealing with maybe a physical situation at home, or maybe it was a kid dealing with a terminal illness or some sort of illness or sickness, or maybe it was a whole family dealing with the situation. We wanted to figure out a way to give back in some capacity to a lot of different initiatives, but mostly around helping kids in need. And there's a lot of incredible organizations across the country. We wanted to start in Phoenix, and UMOM was one that, you know, helps family out of Arizona, that helps families get out of usually mothers and kids get out of a very difficult situation at home and provide them a place to stay. And then just had some incredible friendships through growing Sportique. One was with Greg Olson, who soon to be Hall of Famer, tight end, now commentary for Fox, and we became fast friends at the very early stages of Sportique. And one of his children, TJ, was born with half a heart, and he just, you know, went into this whole thing of like, there are so many kids dealing with this and families that don't have the means that we have, and we've got to figure out ways to help them. So, you know, we jumped head first into helping Greg build awareness and money around his Have a Heart Receptions for Research Foundation. And then, you know, going back, and Kevin Shattenkirk, who's a friend of mine, wanted to help raise funds around, you know, helping really sick kids with cancer in New York and when he was playing for the Rangers. So we went and, you know, did a lot of initiatives around some of the children's hospitals around New York City and helping raise funds and awareness and taking some of our sales to help with that. And then, you know, one of the most recent things is Highland Park, Illinois. And I grew up in Deerfield, the neighboring town, and just, was just sick like most of the other people around the world when they heard what happened on July 4th, on the 4th of July parade. And talking to a lot of cousins and best friends and aunts and uncles who were there and who were running with their kids and their kids' kids to safety. And then, you know, hearing about some of the kids, one of, you know, a few children that are not going to have parents, whose both parents passed or one's paralyzed now. And so just like how could we not help a city like Highland Park, who helped me become the person that I am today? So we created the Highland Park t-shirt on our website, and, you know, 100% of the proceeds go to the Highland Park Foundation, which is, you know, all the money's going to help those, the children and the families that were affected by the 4th of July shooting. And then Beam Impact. So we love the Beam Impact on our website, where you're allowed to pick. There's between three different foundations, and 1% of all sales on Sportique.com go to three different foundations that you get to choose from. So it is and will always be something that is near and dear to us. And it's, you know, I know a lot of companies, because it's on trend or helping out, that we help, or, you know, that's you know, we really mean it. And as you can see by some of the initiatives that we do, that's we really stand behind, you know, helping kids in need.
That's amazing, man. Very, very much appreciated. You know, obviously I can say thank you. You know, it only means so much, but obviously we can also say thank you with our wallets, right? Yeah, it's just a better way. If you're going to buy a nice t-shirt, you know that there's going to a company that's actually wants to do something. You know that it's going to a company that's actually putting their money where their mouth is. And it sounds like, again, I love the way that you said it before, like a town like Harlan Park made you who you are. You would not be the person you are without what they were able to help you become. So it makes absolutely zero sense to not help in some way, shape, or form, because you wouldn't even be here potentially without them. So I think that that's pretty awesome. So kudos and congratulations again. Love to see it. Love to hear it. Love to actually, you know, it's nice to say something, right? But the actual act of doing it, I think, is most important. So, Jason, this has been absolutely incredible. Sincerely appreciate the time. I didn't think it was going to take this long, but hey, I had such a good time. We're butting right up against the time. So tell us, where can we find more about the company? Where can we find more about you? Where can we buy some of the clothes? Talk to me. Give me all the stuff. I'll put everything in the links for everybody. Links in the show notes for everybody.
Appreciate that. Best place to go is Sportique.com, and that's Sportique without a U, as we were talking about before we jumped on. But yeah, and you know, if you want to have the most comfortable apparel and like some just elevated basics that you're not going to want to take off, that you can wear every day, dress up, dress down, the starter kit. If I were to go on there right now, go buy an Olsen hoodie and a comfy tee. And come see me in a week after you get it. You're never going to take it off. You probably need to buy two, because if you live with a significant other, they're going to steal it. Inevitably, it's the most stolen product out of your closet, I guarantee. Go to Sportique.com. That's the best place to find it. And then we're in every, if you go look for that red woven label, and I'm going to, there it is.
Got it.
So see that? If you see, when you go to an NBA arena or NHL arena throughout the United States and Canada, look for that red woven label and Sportique in the back neck, and that's the product you need to buy, because it is the most comfortable product in the store, guaranteed, and you're never going to want to take it off. Just wash it every once in a while. Do your friends and family a favor. That's where I would go to start, and you're going to start seeing it wherever you roam, as we like to say. Look for the red buffalo, and Sportique is with you. So Thanks for checking us out.
No, dude. Thank you so much for coming on. Sounds like I got a really easy Christmas present for my wife, so that way she doesn't have to steal anything. I can just buy her one. So sincerely, sincerely appreciate it, Jason. Time's the only thing we don't get more of, and we're literally at time right now, so I really appreciate you for giving me some of yours. I appreciate the audience for listening to your story and letting me have conversations with you. I appreciate them for that. But other than that, man, this has been absolutely fantastic. Have a wonderful
pleasure,
rest of your day. Be well, man.
Thank you. Be well. Be good. Take care.